listening to the CCA Podcast.
So this week marks our sixth week in the Jesus Loves Seattle sermon series. Really cool. We've been going through different questions in this series. Questions like, what's God's will for my life? Can God be good when life is not? Does prayer really work? And this morning, we're going to be extrapolating from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Is church relevant for me? So we're really glad you guys are here.
The text that we'll be speaking out of today is Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, and I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. And it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a brand new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Today, we want to pitch to you the idea that church is a big deal to Jesus. The church is a community of faith that helps us to get to know Jesus personally, and through that, we become more like him.
Is church relevant for me? At some point, we've all probably asked that question, right? Is it relevant for me, my situation, my circumstance, my happenings, what I'm going through, my family, my friends? See, that question there really determines whether or not we invite people to church, whether we believe it's relevant or not for those that we do life with. Is church relevant for me? This is a question that Seattle, amongst other cities in our great nation, are asking. We live in a post-Christian society. See, I remember growing up in the 80s and 90s when going to church was the happening thing. I mean, everybody just knew that's what you do on Sundays. It's been interesting as the decades have progressed to just see churches dwindle in number and for people to find community in other ways. It's interesting to see how people are no longer probable to find themselves getting up and getting ready and going to church on a Sunday morning. And the question being asked is church relevant for me? If you were downtown Seattle, imagine with me, you're downtown Seattle and you happen to see a gang of criminals brutally beating somebody that you loved, would you do anything about it? Or what if you knew someone who was pained under emotional distress, isolated and completely alone? Would you surround them with loving community? If you had the means to generously feed and clothe, house, hospitalize, employ, educate, equip, and encourage the hopeless in Seattle, would you? Friends, this is church. Real quick this morning, we want to talk about three reasons why the church is still relevant and necessary in Seattle. Three reasons. In your notes, number one, the church unleashes hope and inspires pursuit of relationship with Jesus. Three reasons why the church is still relevant and necessary in Seattle. The church unleashes hope and inspires pursuit of relationship with Jesus. It's important as we're looking in this text this morning a call to perseverance in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. It's very important that we understand the early church was surrounded by hopelessness. Now, the circumstance was different, but the same feeling of hopelessness resides in our city among a lot of people. The church, surrounded by hopelessness. Emperor Nero was very fierce against the Christians. This is what the early church was dealing with. Insomuch that a man might then see cities full of dead men's bodies. You see, in the first 300 years, specifically, the persecution, if you've read the historical happenings, the persecution and what the church was up against, specifically this time of Emperor Nero, was horrendous persecution, pushback, suffering, and affliction. Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you've ever read it, says, in this persecution, listen, among many other saints. How did the first century church of Jesus followers withstand the attacks against their newfound faith? You know how they did it? Together. They stuck together. You see, I believe this morning, if encouragement, and you may need encouragement in what you're going through, if encouragement has a name, that name is community. Our memory verse, if you look on your bulletin, every week now we're doing a memory verse together. If you didn't know, now you know. Woohoo! Look on the back of your bulletin. This week's memory verse, we're going to memorize scripture together every week. Our verse this week is this. It's going to be up on the screen as well. Let us not give up meeting together. Say together.
Together.
As some are in the habit of doing. You know, there's a group out there called the Dunners. You may know a few. They're done with church. I've done it. Yeah, I'm a Jesus follower, but I don't go to church. I used to go to church, but that's just not really what I do. I stay home, and that's our day to hang out and sleep in and be with family. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us, say let us.
Let us.
Let us encourage one another. This is our verse, our memory verse this week. Encouragement happens together, church, not apart. There's a lot of people in here this morning who need some courage. Encouragement happens together. It's in the middle of each other. Courage is in the middle of what we're doing here together. Encouragement happens together. The first century church proves this. It said, friends love through all kinds of weather. We've got all kinds of weather here in Seattle, don't we? Friends love through all kinds of weather. And families stick, read it with me, together in all kinds of trouble. We're going to go through some stuff. If we went around the room this morning, just heard a little bit of each person's story, we're going through some stuff, each of us. This morning, this is the message. The message is church community is foundational for tightly holding on to hope through the difficult seasons. I'm going to say that again. Church community, togetherness is foundational for tightly holding on to hope through the difficult seasons. Look at this picture with me. This is really cool. 1961. Let me take you back to 1961. This is before I was even born. I'm talking like I was alive back then. I wasn't even born yet. But this is a picture of the Space Needle Foundation in 1961. Okay? It's if you know your history, this was built, the Space Needle was built for the World's Fair on 1962, right? So this is a picture of April. All right, I believe it was April 17th that construction was happening, and right around that time here, this is what's going on there. As you look at that picture, the Space Needle Foundation, 30 feet deep, 120 feet wide, 467 trucks of cement, which equates to 5,600 tons of cement for the foundation. Now, you've got to understand that the way this was designed, it was known that if we want this foundation to be most strong, we've got to pour it in one day. 467 trucks. We got to get one, we got to make it in one pour if we want that foundation to be most strong. How did they do it? Together. They did it together. Let us encourage one another, the word says. Let us not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. There is no way they would have been able to get it done in one day's pour, 12-hour span, without sticking together. 467 trucks together. That's why Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yeah. The strength of together, the strength of the church is here because Jesus says, no matter what the hell or high water comes against you, it will not prevail as long as you keep the foundational togetherness. Yeah. Jesus says, I'm building my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Think of the space needle. That's a picture of church. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're working on our foundation together. Yeah. That way when the greater the building, the taller the building, the greater the foundation. We can all agree on that, right? You don't build a skyscraper when you have a tiny foundation. We're working on foundation this morning. The Seattle Space Needle spans 600 something odd feet. That doesn't happen with a tiny, that happens with 467 truckfuls of cement together. This morning, whatever you're going through, you can withstand the storms, the rain, the snow, the hail, the wind. You can do it, not alone, friends. We learn from our first century church as those Jesus followers stuck together. Jesus' foundation strength forebodes hope for the nations. 20,000 people a day during the World Fair, up and down the elevators. 20,000 people a day, millions of people. It didn't fall down, it stayed strong. The foundation, Jesus' foundational strength forebodes hope for the nations. That's why the author says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold how? Unswervingly. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let us hold unswervingly. Let me give you this real quick. That original word there means to get possession of and hold tight. Yeah. Let us get possession of and hold tight to the hope that we believe in. What is that hope that we believe in? Jesus. But interesting how it says, let us. Let us. These seven verses that Pastor Linnea read, did you know in seven verses, 17 times is a us vernacular, a together vernacular, a let us, one another, together, family, that family talk, that together talk, that unity talk, 17 times in seven verses. Let us hold unswervingly. Let us. See, relationship with Jesus is the hope that we hold tight to. Yeah. Relationship. This life is all about relationship. No one was ever intended, created, designed to do life isolated and alone. And this is why the church comes together. See, the author says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. This is. I love that visual of the space needle, an anchor, firm and secure. That's church. We have this anchor in Jesus together to hold on to. Jesus wants nothing more than to anchor us this morning with hope, to anchor us with hope when we worry and when we fear. And when we're anxious, to anchor us with hope when we're going through pain. There's people in here going through a ton of pain. There's people in here, this month represents pain. And together, we can hold on. Together, we can be fortified and strengthened. Together, we can make it through suffering. That's why Jesus says this, where two or three gather, read it with me, together as my followers. What does he say? Read it. I am among them. Jesus is here when we gather in community.
So three reasons why the church is still relevant and necessary in Seattle. Reason one, the church unleashes hope and inspires pursuit of relationship with Jesus. And reason two, the church establishes Jesus as the priority. The church establishes Jesus as the priority. Essentially, let's make the main thing the main thing. Acts 2, 42 through 47, it gives us this view of what the ideal first church looked like. And so it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so I want to emphasize the word devoted themselves. The Greek for that word, that expression is to persevere and to give constant attention to one thing. They gave constant attention to staying together, the breaking of bread, taking care of each other's needs. And what was the result of that? Acts 2:47. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So in essence, true faith in God, getting together often, taking care of each other, it all resulted in exponential growth. The Lord blessed, and the Lord multiplied it. Now, this is such a stark contrast to a portrait of Nazareth in Matthew 13. At this point, Jesus was teaching, and the locals were impressed at first, like, oh, wow, he's so wise. And then they actually became resentful. Well, who does this guy think he is? We know his mom. We know his dad. We know his siblings. Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't he the carpenter guy? Who's he trying to tell us? And what did Jesus do? He couldn't do miracles anymore in that town because of their lack of faith. In the Message version, it says, because of their hostile indifference. Sometimes when we struggle with faith, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm having a hard time trusting. But there are interpretations that say hostile indifference. May we never be a people who have a hostile indifference to the things of the Lord. What is our response and what's our attitude towards people who oppose us? Now, Jesus in his own hometown, they just pushed him out. They weren't hearing his message because he was the local boy. They knew him. They saw him around the neighborhood. How could we look up to him? So what do we do as us today, right now in the church, if we encounter people, even good, godly people, who may not see us the way that the Lord sees us? Do we abandon the church? Do we abandon the capital C church? What do we do in the face of people who are heroes to us who maybe don't ascribe to us the way that we think we should be? Because that's a real thing. Jesus' response in Luke 4:16, in the King James Version, it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He just kept at it. He did not allow people or their minimizing of who they think he is to demonstrate or to tell him what he should or should not do. See, so often we come into the church and we get really easily discouraged because sometimes there's not a seat at the table for us, figuratively speaking. And so it's like, well, I'm out of here. Look how Jesus was treated. And yet look what he kept doing. So here's a question to ponder. Are we called by man? Or are we called by God? There is a mission. There's something that we're supposed to do. And why should we count that it's going to be easy street for us? Why do we think like, oh, well, I should be given the golden ticket? Well, look at Jesus' example. There was nothing easy about what he did. And look how he persevered. Here's a thought. What if Jesus stopped going to church? And what if he stopped ministry just because of the opposition he faced? What if he allowed himself to become discouraged and said, well, the church isn't relevant for me, so that would completely change our eternal narrative. We would have no dying on the cross. We would have no salvation. We would have no opportunity to live eternally with him. But the thing is, Jesus stayed so laser sharp intent on the mission. It didn't derail him what people thought. It didn't derail him the opposition that he faced. He just kept going. And so that same term that I was talking about earlier in verse 4 and Hebrews, the Greek term. I won't attempt it because Keith is in the room. I'm not even going to try to say it. But it's again used in verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together. Continued. Circle the word continued. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, the word continued in this connotation meant to make a priority, and it actually meant perseverance. So when it says in the scripture that they broke bread together daily, it meant they were doing communion. So every day they were getting together, breaking bread. And if you look at it on the timeline of when they were doing this, Jesus had just died on the cross not that long ago. And yet after the fact, they were doing it on a daily basis. Why? Because it was a priority. Because they didn't want to forget. They understood it's easy to forget. And so they constantly focused back in on the purpose and broke bread together as a reminder of Christ's sacrifice. Now, Hebrews 10:25 is interesting because it says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." As some are in the habit of doing. What happened between Acts and Hebrews that they were getting together every day, breaking bread, to all of a sudden to, as some are in the habit of doing, they don't get together? What happened? It stopped being a priority. As the time passed, so did the passion. How do we make Jesus a priority? And I would encourage you that we need to think beyond today. We need to analyze our daily choices, the big ones and the little ones, to make sure that they're not derailing us from what's most important. Now, for me personally, back in February, I decided I'm going to start going to the gym. And that's not a thing that you ever hear me say. I don't do that. So anyway, I decided, okay, I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm like knocking on the door of 40. I need to just like start getting it together. And it doesn't help that I have like 5 days a week gym guy next to me. So it's like, okay, I'll do this. And so the reason why is because, you know, I'm only getting older, and if I just work out now, I'm going to be thanking myself in 20, 30 years that I was just faithful in the little things. Now, that rationale does not always work at 5:55 in the morning when you wake me up. Hey, want to go to the gym? I'm like, no, yeah, I do. But here's the thing. It robs me of an hour and a half of sleep. I'm sore all the time, and sometimes I'm not seeing the immediate results that I want to see. But if I were to be totally honest, I'm stronger than I was a year ago. I have greater endurance than I did a year ago. I'm more confident than I was a year ago. Back in the day when I attempted to do the gym in college, I would never want to work out doing the free weights in the mirror next to the guys because they were all like totally huge, and then here's me pushing fives. And so I just would be so intimidated by that. Now I don't care. I really don't care what the guys are doing here and there, because I'm running my own race. I'm not in a battle to try to be stronger than that guy or that guy or that girl. I'm running my own race. In the same way, we make these small incremental choices to go to church. It's so easy to wake up and be like, I'm tired. I'll catch the podcast, maybe. Or I'd rather have brunch with my friends. I'm going to sleep in, or I'm going to do whatever. And those are not bad things, okay? I'm not throwing shade on that. However, when we just say yes in the little things on a weekly basis, maybe we don't feel the growth in that moment, but when we look back over the past month, the past year, the past decade or decades, we understand that it was good to be faithful in our yes in those small things. And so today I just want to leave you with, even those are really good things, getting together with our family or like brunch and all that fun stuff in lieu of church. I mean, it's like an okay thing, but let's learn to say no to the good things so that we can say yes to the best thing.
Is church relevant for me? It's a good question. Context, right? Three reasons why the church is still relevant. and necessary in Seattle. Number one, the church unleashes hope and inspires pursuit of relationship with Jesus. Number two, the church establishes Jesus as the priority. And number three, the church propels us to live like Jesus by urgently loving our city. You heard us say it. We'll say it again. Jesus loves Seattle, so we love Seattle. I got a question for you this morning. Have you ever felt like you didn't belong somewhere? Have you? You know that it's just it's the worst feeling. I've felt that, and confession, I've actually felt that in a church. Now don't get all scared. I didn't say this church. I said I've felt that in a church before. Have you? Man, I've been around people who call themselves the family of God, and whether they mean to or not, just completely make me feel like an outsider, like I don't belong. That is the worst feeling. I hate that feeling, don't you? Yeah. There's some people in here or who will be listening to this by way of podcast who have felt that in the church, and that's been what's kept you from coming. I want to, as the pastor of this church, just apologize on behalf of the church, big C, because that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is what we see, what Pastor Linnea extrapolated a few minutes ago in Nazareth, where he would go to his custom, like Jesus went to church every weekend. If nothing else, Jesus goes to church, so I go to church. I mean, it makes sense to me, right? But, oh my word, the feeling of not belonging. Did you know if you've ever felt that, Jesus felt that same thing? Conversely, have you ever felt like you've belonged somewhere? Now, that's a pretty good feeling, right? To be valued, to be heard, to be loved. I remember at another church, not the one I just mentioned, which, by the way, I won't name that name of where that was. But conversely, I remember being part of another church, and I remember it was right around the time I was diagnosed with diabetes, and I was hospitalized. I actually slipped into a diabetic coma, and I was in the hospital for a week. This was in a completely different state. And I remember feeling so alone. I mean, I can ever smell something and it takes you right back to a moment in life where you hear a song or experience something and it just takes you back. Even now to this day, I remember being in that hospital bed in that room and it was just so sterile, right? And just so cold. But then all of a sudden, the community that we were part of, they just started showing up. Like people who I wouldn't even have expected to come visit in the hospital, and they just kept, and they were loving on me and bringing cards, and it was like I experienced Jesus in the community of the church in a way I had never experienced before. You know what it did for me? It gave me a lift. It was like that scripture that says we love because he first loved us. It was like people who had experienced Jesus' love were now his hands and feet. And it was like an overflow. And what it did in my spirit, it gave me a lift. Let me show you a picture of what it did. This is a picture of the church. Now, this is cool because I've seen this actually up at 600-something-odd feet up at in the Space Needle. You look out, and on a clear day, you can see birds doing this. What is it? It's the V formation, right? We've all seen that probably at some point. Why do birds do that? Why do they fly in the V formation? Birds fly together to uplift each other. Let me explain this. Maybe you know this already, but stick with me. That little bird in the front there, okay? They actually get nothing out of it. They don't. They've tested the heart rates of birds, and actually the bird in the front, the heart rate is way higher. Okay? But the cool thing about that is they don't stay in the front. They maneuver. There's this constant moving around of who's in the front and who's behind. And every bird following gets a lift. Literally, there's something that happens with the wings. As the wings are flapping, the bird, and right next, they get a lift, and then the neck gets a lift, and then the neck, which that alone is a completely other sermon that we can talk about how the generations are needed. Because we would not be sitting here teaching this morning had it not been for some of the staples and pillars in this church who are now giving lift to next generations. That's another message, though. But stick with me in this moment right now of togetherness. It's a picture of the church. You see, we congregate on Sundays. We flock together for the lift. We may be out front. But let me tell you, let's maneuver, because you're going to lift our spirit, and then we're going to move and do it, and then we're going to lift your spirit, and then somebody on the front row is going to lift somebody on the second, and then maybe next week. Do you see the picture? Do you get where I'm going with this? Community is so essential, because community brings lift. There are people who walked in this morning with a despondent, depressed spirit who are going to walk out with the hope of Jesus. What is that? It's lift. It's a lift in the spirit. And so this morning, we congregate and we flock together for the lift. The church community surrounds Seattle to lift. We are here in this city. CCA, Calvary Christian Assembly, is here as a church, not to fly solo, not to lock everyone out and protect our own. But we are here in this great city of Seattle to go out in the highways and the byways and to lift people out of depression and to lift people out of despondency and to help unleash hope in a city that so needs Jesus. The church community surrounds Seattle to lift people with what? With love. To lift them with love. That's why the author says, so let us consider how we may spur one another on toward, read it with me, love and good deeds. We can't have love without good deeds, and we can't have good deeds without love. It's impossible to separate the two. Jesus models this in Scripture. So how do we do that? Well, the hope for Seattle is in an authentic church community. Let me give you three good deeds considerations to spur us on together in love. Real quick, number one, be kind. Just be kind. It's so simple, and yet it's needed. It's one of the greatest things that we can do as part of our witness is to just be kind to people. To say hello when you walk by someone. To smile at someone. Extend a handshake. To say hello. To be kind. We're so isolated and alone and in our own worlds in this community. It's where they talk about the Seattle freeze. I'm done with freezing people over. I want to be kind. Don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Isn't that exciting to be awesome and be kind to people and watch what it does? Be randomly kind. Give a gift to some stranger. I mean, buy somebody's lunch. I've had that happen to me. It's the best feeling. Do it to somebody else. Maybe send somebody a text, even now. A lot of preachers say, don't put your phones away. Take it out right now. If God put somebody on your heart, send them a text and say, hey, thinking about you in church, praying for you. Do it now. Be randomly kind. Just encourage people with a phone call or a letter. Number two, pray for people. Pray for people. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Pray for people. I love this. This has been one of the coolest things as far as being able to witness to people. It's to give people Jesus quotes. A lot of people that I talk to, we start chatting about life and whatever, and sometimes it's like, hey, have you heard that quote? This, you know, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, today's a gift, that's why it's called the present, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes we just start talking about quotes. I love to give Jesus quotes. What it is I'm really giving Scripture, but it's a Jesus quote. Hey, I've got a really cool quote. It's a Jesus quote. One of the greatest teachers, if not the greatest, right? You've heard that. One of the amazing prophet. Okay, here's what he said. He said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it and it will be yours. Isn't that a cool quote? Yeah. Well, it's scripture. It's Mark 11:24. But they don't know that. I'm giving them Jesus. And then I say, you know what? Is there, Jesus said, is there anything I can pray for you about? I like to keep a prayer journal for my friends and my family. I'd love to pray with you. Pray for people. You know, that's one of the nicest things that you can do for somebody. And it's the most easy thing to do is to just offer prayer. Number three, support the Jesus Loves Seattle Hope Bags Project. You got this. Everybody get this in your bulletin this morning when you came in. I'd invite you to pull this out real quick. I just want to cast vision for this. This Jesus Loves Seattle Hope Bags is all about creating bags of hope to unleash all throughout our city. Our goal is to create 150 plus bags. We're going to beat this. I already know it. And the idea is to go through, it's just four easy steps. Number one, contribute any of the following. We need 150 of each. And so we're going to invite every one of us in this place. Every one of us can do something. Not every one of us can do it all, but every one of us can do something. All these items on here are items that we need help getting. We'll take care of the Bibles. We'll take care of the local resources as far as the document that gives people next steps if they want to go find a job and so on and so forth. We'll take care of some of the in-house items like the Bible and what else was on that other list? Different resources that the church will take care of because we don't want like 18 different versions coming in. We have a specific version of the Bible and a specific sale price that we can get it at. So these items, these bullet point items are things that we want people that even in the community, you know, we're getting people in the community to jump in on something like this too. Because I just so happen to believe, hear my heart, church, that no matter what your background, no matter what your walk of life, your situation or circumstance, where you grew up, what you have or don't have, I just so happen to believe that every person in our great city of Seattle, no matter who you are, should never go to bed at night not knowing two things, that you're loved and that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning with hope. I just believe that. I believe Jesus loves Seattle, so we love Seattle. And one of those ways we want to show that to the homeless community is by unleashing these Jesus Loves Seattle hope bags. It's going to be a little backpack that we put everything in, and we're going to give. Now, the idea is this. When we have them, we're going to asking everyone in the congregation to start contributing and bringing these items for the month of October. The month of November, we're going to unleash this. For the entire month of November, we'll have those bags available. We're going to have them up front here throughout November, and you can take a couple of bags. And here's what I found to work really well, okay? Is to keep a couple bags full of all these supplies. We'll put them together in your car. And the next time you come across a homeless person, instead of going, well, should I give him $5? I don't really have anything. And you just drive on by. You got the bag ready to give. You've prayed over it. Right? And we unleash hope. It's just such a simple way. It's three good deeds considerations to spur us on in love. Because remember, love without good deeds isn't. And good deeds without love isn't. We have to do them both together. Do you have an urgency, church, to show Jesus' love in our city? Is there an urgency within you to show love in our city? In a USA Today recent week or so ago article, I read that according to recent Pentagon report, military suicides are highest in 5 years. Recent report. I don't know if you read it. USA Today. One of the quotes in that article said, "It's not weak to ask for support." As I read that article, I couldn't help but think community is needed, even amongst the bravest, the strongest, and the most disciplined. Now, this morning, you may be the bravest, you may be the strongest, you may be the most disciplined, but at some point, at some point, you're going to need somebody. This is church. Is church relevant for me? Georgie Sweezy, one of my favorites, says, every human being needs the church. One of my favorite quotes. Christianity, whose key word is love, requires fellowship. Listen, this morning, if Jesus values church, we value church. The Hebrew writer says, all the more, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more, he says, as you see the day approaching. You see, understand the first century church. All the more as you see the day approaching. They didn't know when they were going to die. Like, we have the luxury on a Sunday morning of going, well, do I want to take the sailboat out today, or do I want to go to church? Should we grab brunch with the kids, or should
Sounds
we?
Sounds good. Yeah.
We live in a society. Look at this beautiful building.
Yeah.
The climate control. I mean, we have no idea what these people were going through.
Yeah.
We have the luxury of coming in and having notes printed out. Oh, the font is too small. I can't read it today. We have the luxury of stopping by Starbucks on the way. And please, my heart is not to begrudge or to condemn anyone. That is the last thing that I want to do this morning. What I do want to do is ask the question, is church relevant for me? With the great day, the end, approaching, however that falls in your lap, Jesus says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Calvary, we congregate to spread out and to love. We come together to spread out and to love. We are better together. Come on, Calvary. We are better together. We fly farther and stronger together. Listen to me this morning. We fly farther and we fly stronger together. Let's just walk the aisles. Come on, this is fun. Oh, grab your microphone. We're family. We rise higher than our setbacks, and we overcome our insecurities. Say it with me. Together.
Together.
We will not just come to church. We will be the church. How? Together. By taking turns, lifting each other up when we're down. How? Together. And extending Jesus' hope and community to an isolated and hurting city of Seattle. How?
Together.
Together. Are we together? Yeah. Would you stand with me and grab the hand of the person next to you? Everybody span these aisles. Everybody, somebody grabbing a hold on somebody. Is church relevant for me? Is church relevant for me? Would you pray?
Lord, we thank you so much that the church is relevant, but more than anything, you are relevant.
Yeah.
You are alive and living, and your purpose is happening in our society. And God, we surrender to you. And Father, we lay down any hurts or anything that we've experienced in the church. Lord, that's a real thing. And God,
yes,
we pray,
God,
Lord, that you would heal divisions.
Yeah.
God, what the enemy tries to use as a loophole to destroy us, oh, Father, would you fasten it together and make it a point of strength?
Yeah, God.
Father God, I pray that you would break down divisions,
yes, Lord,
break down walls, break down misperceptions,
oh, God,
and God, may unity abide in this place.
Yeah, God.
Father, we thank you that you gave us the church. Thank you, Lord, that in Jesus' life you gave us a model of how to live.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lord, that you have ordained us for this moment right here and right now as Calvary Christian
yes,
Assembly.
God.
And Father, we stand up. And we say yes to your purpose. Yes, God. We say yes to your plan in one mind, in one body, yeah, and in one together, spirit. God, together, it's not just his job or that person's job. God, it's our job. And God, we take on the mantle that you've placed on us. And we move forward saying, yes, we love your people because you love your people.
Yes.
Father God, we are so thankful to be your children. We are so thankful to move forward in this way. And God, we choose you. We say yes to you. In Jesus' name,
Lord,
amen.
And right now, would you pray to that person on your right? Keep holding their hand. And on that person on your right, and just begin to pray God's blessing in them. Begin to, what are we doing? We're helping give lift right now is what we're doing. And we're a foundation. We're a strong foundation. We're fortified in Jesus. So begin right now to pray fortifying, faith-filled prayers and give that person on your right a lift. Come on, just pray for them and ask God's blessing in their life. Whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, just pray right now. Jesus' name. Now the person on your left, just begin to pray for that person on your left, fortifying faith-filled prayers. Come on, give them a lift. Unleash hope in their life. Just whatever scriptures you know, begin to pray over them that the God of hope would fill them with all joy and peace so that they would experience and unleash hope by the power of the Holy Spirit as they trust in him. Come on, just begin to pray for that person on your left. In Jesus' name, we're praying and we're giving lift this morning. We're community. We're doing it together. In the name of Jesus. Now, everybody, would we just pray over the Jesus Loves Seattle Homeless Hope Bags project that we're going to be unleashing? And just begin to pray with me that, God, you would meet every need. We're praying right now in Jesus' name that, Lord God, the volume of materials and supplies that come in would be double of what we've had vision for. Yes, that, God, we would be able to unleash hope. And we pray for every bag before it's even put together that, Lord Jesus, you're going to lead us to the right person at the right time. And that we can be used to unleash hope. Use a simple project like this, oh God, to change our city. One person at a time. That we would congregate to spread out and to love. And this would be one of those good deeds that we spur each other on. So right now in prayer, we spur each other on. Right now in prayer, we lift each other up. Right now in prayer, God, we're solid. We're foundational. We've got fortified faith in you to say, God, you're going to do a new thing through this project. So God, you love Seattle, so we love Seattle. Use this Jesus Love Hope Bags project, oh God, to do just that. We give you praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Now, with every head bowed and eyes closed, please. Every head bowed and eyes closed as you make your way back to your seats. Maybe wait to bow your head before you get back so nobody trips. But in this moment, I just want to give opportunity. I want to extend an invitation from God this morning. Every head bowed and eye closed. You know, men, women, boy, and girl who don't have joy and peace in their heart will spend an entire lifetime searching for it. And this morning, if you've found hope, a sense of lift in this message, it's Jesus. It's nothing we've said. It's Jesus. It's his word. And I remember, like, when I found Jesus, it was after trying everything else, really. And I came to Jesus and I said, Lord, you are the only one who I've ever truly felt loved by, truly experienced peace from, and truly found hope. And this morning, if you found hope in this message and you've said, I want to follow Jesus, I'm all in. I want more. I want more of this. I long for hope and I need joy and peace and I believe that's Jesus and I want to give my life to the Lord. If that's you, I want to invite you, just lift your hand so I can pray with you. Anybody in this building? Yeah. One, two, three. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, four. Okay, and I just ask you to raise your hand. That way I know who I'm praying for. That's all. Okay, yeah. All right, you can put your hands down. Father, we just pray for every person who responded and has said, God, I'm all in. I want more of you. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, you guys that raise your hand, just pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins, the mistakes that I've made, Wash me clean. Wash me white as snow, Lord. Lord, the shame that I have, or the guilt that I have, and the mistakes that I made, Father, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I turn from my wrongs. Lord, would you come into my heart and help me to live wholeheartedly for you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one last thing I want us all to do. I want us all right now. I know we've prayed and we've gone a couple different directions, but one more time, just for the next 30 seconds, would you pray for the church of Jesus? Not just Calvary. I'm talking Big C Church. Just pray right now for the church, that the churches across this great city of Seattle would be used to give lift and to unleash hope. Come on, just begin to pray right now for the church. Big C with me. Just for the next few seconds. God, we pray for the church, and we're asking in Jesus' name that you'd raise up intercessors, that you'd raise up worshipers, that you'd raise up Jesus followers, that you'd raise up people, God, that spur each other on in love and in good deeds, that we could unleash hope in our city in a new way. God, that the next generation would catch the vision of following Jesus. God, that the next generation wouldn't check out, but would check in and would dial in full force, 110%, God. Everything we have, God, in, all in for you, Jesus. We pray for communities, people who've been hurt in church communities, to find healing, yeah, to find restoration, God. We pray in Jesus' name, just like Pastor Linnea prayed a few minutes earlier. We pray again, God, that you would do a new thing in this church and in the churches of Seattle. Lord, would you do it? We're giving you praise and we're giving you thanks in advance because, Lord, we know that there's power in community. There's life in community. There's hope in community. So this morning, God, we're praying and we're believing. Would you do it again? Bless the name of the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship together.